Ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday night, and you're sitting in front of a computer whacking off to porn and listening to the ultimate in internet radio. You're listening to
Spank Wagon Radio.
I'm your host, Trencher.
And I, of course, am the irrefutable Claude Balls.
Irrefutably. How yes. You doing, Claude?
Quite fine. How are you?
I could be better.
I always
could be better. Yeah, I'm tired today. I drove halfway around town and picked us some good shit for the show.
Well, let's certainly hope so.
I hope so, because if people don't think it's good shit, we're fucked. I mean, yeah. We're hardcore fucked.
But, you know, Claude has his, good music collection he can back up.
You know, you got your good music collection. I hear you passed your smog today, which, you know, is something I
can't.
No,
yesterday.
Yesterday you passed your smog.
Yeah.
Man, you are a lucky bastard.
My hydrocarbons could have been a little bit lower. I was at 53 parts per million.
Oh, Jesus Christ. For those of you who don't know, they measure hydrocarbons, and to fail, you have to get past what?
220.
And you're at 53, and I think I'm down to like in the 50s, but it's my CO2, my fuel. That's shot right through the roof.
Yeah, see, my CO2 is very small.
Yeah, obviously. A little six-banger, I mean, what do you expect?
It's so small. Yeah, but guess what? My little six-banger's on the road.
Well, not legally. Oh, or is it legally? Did you pay your fine?
Not yet.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Hey, everybody. Spankwagon Radio is only at spankwagon.vftp.net.
You'll like it.
You'll love it. If you're tuning in just now, don't forget you could chat with us. irc.slashnet.org. Room is Spankwagon.
Of course. And for everybody who joins up, who knows? You might just stick around long enough to get free mad props of some sort.
Of some sort. Yeah, because what was it last week? Free awkward silence.
Yes.
Awkward silent props. Tell. So who knows what we're going to have this week. It'll be good. Honest, really.
You know, it's really interesting. Toe is making fun of my name in the chat room.
Irrefutably club balls, like irrefutably delicious. I don't know, Toe, do you want to lick them?
Well, you know, it's something very fun.
Licking Claude is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well, you can't do porn right now.
Why is that?
Well, there's a moratorium. No porn is being shot right now.
Oh, yes,
Huge AIDS scare.
Massive. You know, it's really funny. I think this was actually last year. We had looked up, or at least I had found, I don't know if I shared it with you or not. It was a huge thing talking about the problem with infectious diseases within the pornography industry.
I want to say we talked about it, but I'm not sure.
I do, too. They were talking a lot about that. There was this one chick, when she was dolled up, she looked great. Now she looks like shit, of course, because she has AIDS. But they were talking about a lot of pornography in L.A. right there. They do... They actually have a lot of unprotected sex. Yeah, and what they were saying was, and I love this right here, it was one of those painfully obvious things, that stars of pornographic films are typically a lot more promiscuous than those who are not.
Really?
Yes. Now, it's funny when you hear that, because, you know, they're thinking in the terms of work. You know, sex is just their work to them. But you know, the fact is, they are having sex, therefore they are more promiscuous.
Right.
Yeah. But they're talking about a lot of times that happens. You know, somebody has like a girlfriend or boyfriend and shit like that. And they gave an example. I forget the names. Like anybody really know? They're like really, you know, unknowns. But yeah, there was an instance of a female porn star who had a boyfriend at the time. They were having sex.
Mm-hmm.
And they broke up. It was a mutual thing, you know. And they just broke up. And I think he said like 2 years later, he had to track her down. He met this other girl, and they were going to get married. And mm-hmm. You have to have a blood test done in Los Angeles to prevent the spread of infectious diseases,
okay. If
that helps. And he couldn't get married because he had caught hepatitis B.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow. See, I mean, that's just something that's always freaky. I mean, you got to think about it. You know, these are people who are, you know, they're having sex. They're fucking for money. I mean, and it's not prostitution so much as it is just for the entertainment of others. You know?
Well, yeah. See, prostitution is you fuck someone in particular for money.
Right. This is your fucking another professional, so to speak.
Yes. You just for someone else to watch. To be having sex in front of a camera.
So, you know, this is really screwed up, you know, when your industry can be wiped out by infectious disease as such.
Well, it's really funny. They don't tell you the entire story. It's only the heterosexual pornography that's been had to really grind to a halt.
Yeah. No, the gay porn's still on.
Gay porn's still on.
Interesting.
It's because in the same article they were talking about, and not this one, but the one previously, within the gay community right there, it's considered actually very disgusting and filthy not to use some sort of protection.
Hmm.
So therefore, because gay industry is much more scrutinized for infectious diseases and whatnot, they always make sure that they, and that's a standard requirement, no gay film, adult film house will actually do unprotected sex movies. And therefore, actually gay film stars are a lot cleaner in that in the sense of disease infection.
Interesting. I didn't realize that. I mean, I really honestly didn't. I didn't think anything of it. But that's pretty cool. All right.
Yes.
So that was like the first thing that I was reading. I actually was reading. It made CNN yesterday. So I didn't, you know, first I see it on FARC and I'm going, eh, you know. And then I see it in CNN and I'm going, ooh.
Yeah, ooh, look, CNN goes to FARC.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes it's funny, too, because I'll listen to, like, other radio shows when I'm driving to school or driving to work.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They'll talk about headlines, one right after another, all of which I've heard on FARC in the exact same order.
Yeah.
Man, they're not even trying. I mean, we don't try some days. But when you're just reading it verbatim, top to bottom, that's pretty sad.
Yeah, what was that one? Somebody actually took a photo of the guy. He was some news radio host in some kind of medium-sized metropolis-type city.
Okay.
And they actually took a picture of him in the studio, and he had FARC up behind him.
Well, who knows if he really had FARC or if someone photoshopped.
Well, you know,
come on, it's FARC.
It's the internet.
It's the internet.
Yes.
Everything is real and true. Everything really happened. Yeah, that's true.
Exactly. But no, I found out something very interesting right
here. What's
that? I don't know if we've announced this on the show or whatnot, but the JLD has one in the oven.
Yeah, the JLD does have one in the oven.
She's actually pregnant, and the due date, I know it's a little late now for everybody to announce if we haven't. What happened was, well, not what happened, what the date is going to be sometime in July.
Okay.
She's going to have a baby shower.
All right.
The courtesy of Claude Balls on the show here, we already have a gift lined up for her.
Oh, God, what's this?
You know it. You would know what it is. We were going to get it for Red Room at one point. We were talking about it.
Run it by me.
I don't want to spoil it for her.
Okay, well, we won't spoil it for her then.
But she was looking up baby names.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
And, you know, their meanings and things like
that. Oh, Jesus, that's a waste. Although I know the meaning of my name in the baby books.
Really?
Mark, related to Mars, God of War.
Ooh. Yeah. Mine was something like Glorious Fortune. But my stage name's a bit different.
Oh, God, what's Claude's?
Claude means lame. So Claude
lame
Balls translates
balls.
To lame testicles. So I'm not too happy about that. I don't know how to take that.
Now that's good.
Yes, and this was like actually researched by the JLD.
That is nice. If you're all wondering who JLD is, go to the archive after the show or whenever you get a chance to. Intergender arm wrestling. That's when the JLD was on the show.
Is that it?
That was when she was on the show.
Okay.
So, yeah, intergender arm wrestling. So
God, it's been so long, yeah.
God, it's been a couple years now.
Yeah.
It has been a couple years. Yeah, download that. That's pretty good stuff. All right. You were mentioning something earlier before we got on, and it was in the realm of the radio.
Aha, yes.
What introduce us to the audience, and let's just see what's going on here.
Well, my mother, she listens to the radio, as many common Americans do when they drive.
And they do.
Right. And there is a local station here. It's a Clear Channel station. And they do the syndication of the John Tesh show. It took me back when I find out John Tesh actually has his own show that he plays easy listening music. You know, you broke up with your boyfriend, your dog died, you've got a heinous yeast infection.
Right.
He will play.
Wait, what?
You know, the anybody who fucking calls in and cries, he'll play some sort of song.
Okay, and he has like a song for every problem.
Yeah. So basically, my mom's very pissed off because my mom's actually a huge Howard Stern fan.
Okay.
So she was listening to this, radio show, you know, because, you know, the John Tesh show, because it's easy listening music and it keeps her from road raging.
Right. Okay.
And John Tesh made the comment, here on this local radio station here, you will never hear any type of vulgar or obscene music. Because in this day and age, it's important that we have family values and we protect our children. So I guarantee you, we shall never, ever play anything offensive.
Keep
the airwaves clean. Yeah.
Wait, he said over there, we will never play anything offensive.
He said, we will never play anything offensive.
Okay, first off, what's offensive? I mean, really, truly, what is offensive?
Honestly. I mean, I'm in total agreement right there, okay?
I mean, come on. That's bullshit. If someone actually goes on the air and they say, I'm not going to play anything offensive, fuck you.
I think the only thing that's not offensive is chopsticks, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Everything has something, you know, every music, every song out there means something to someone. Every word out there, every, you know, every sentence you say. You talk about the traffic, you know, he could be sitting there going, Well, not even him, because he's fucking syndicated. But someone local could say, boy, boy, there's a lot of morons out there on the freeways.
Well, that's the thing.
Well, that's offensive, because now you've just pissed off all the morons on the freeway.
Well, that's impossible.
How so?
Well, because Clear Channel doesn't have anyone local.
No, they do have someone local in the mornings.
Yeah,
and that's
what
I'm talking about. That's all it takes. Is the morning or the guy who does the voiceovers for the for the
Oh, but that's
weather.
Different. That's different. That's only his opinions, and they don't necessarily reflect the station. But you know what's funny? Another station locally got in trouble, and I guess somebody brought it to the FCC's attention. And I actually heard this on the radio.
Okay.
Last week, KUMM 92.3, the radio station there. It's a rock station here in town. They have this, I forget what charity it's for, but it's like you pay like $10 and they'll play any song you want.
Yeah, I know. They did that last week, didn't they?
Right, right.
And that's great because you'll be sitting and listening to the thing and all of a sudden Baby Got Back came up and followed by some classical music.
Yeah, and I heard like some weird ass like Buffalo Springfield cover. It was like strange.
Yeah, but it's a lot of really good music you don't listen to anymore because it's just not played.
Yes.
People remember.
But they decided to play a very interesting ditty.
What was that?
Toxic.
Toxic?
You know, like the Britney Spears song.
No, I didn't.
Except covered by Richard Jeez. Yes. Have you heard the song?
No, I have not.
Well, they asked, they joked, and they said, is this song clean? Because I know sometimes with Richard Cheese, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
No, it's clean. You know, I like, huh. So they play Toxic.
Okay.
So basically he sings, he does that fucking lounge thing, and he's like, you know, where he sings a song, and he's like, you know, ladies and gentlemen, Britney Spears she's a fine actress, you know, and she writes her own songs, and she's quite a performer, and she's very multi-talented. He's fucking, like, starts gushing. He's like, and God, I want to fuck her! And I heard this on the radio, man. It was great.
He just, oh my God, and they didn't have the delay.
No, they didn't have the delay at all.
Oh, they didn't have the delay. That is horrible. Well, that's not horrible. That's funny. That's the way it should fucking be.
Exactly. And you know what? I heard nothing of it on TV. Nothing like that until, actually, I think it was, I want to say it was last Saturday or Sunday when I went on the online edition of the Review Journal.
Uh-huh.
They actually had a blurb about it. They dropped the F-bomb. The F-bomb? It's the word.
You know, and that's just one thing. I'm sorry. That's a newspaper saying the F-bomb? The newspaper wrote F-bomb?
Newspaper wrote the word F-bomb.
Okay, that's shitty journalism right there. But you know what? Volcker said here, you know, fucking fascists and all these liberal high horses. These moral high horses. I don't remember how he wrote it because I scrolled past it already. But as far as I'm concerned, this is pissing me off as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we talk about this week in, week out. Everyone's talking about it, you know. Everyone is talking about how the simple fact that, you know what, we all have to protect everyone. No, we don't. Well, I don't have to protect any of our listeners from what we say. You don't have to protect me from what you say. No one out here should really protect themselves from what's going on, except in the occurrence of a parent to a child. Then that's acceptable.
Oh, yeah. And
you know,
opinion,
that's just because that's good fucking parenting.
Yeah. And like I say, I mean, a lot of the shit that goes on is complete, total, utter fucking bullshit.
I agree.
You know?
I mean, I completely agree. What we have now is, you know, Janet Jackson flashed her tit on Saturday Night Live a couple weeks ago.
No, she did not.
No, I know.
It was
blurred. They still squared it out. I mean,
they
squared it out and they're making fun of it. You know, and it's all parody. And hopefully it'll finally die. Because I'm sick and tired of this post-Janet, you know, world that we're in. I guess what did I say last week? The post-Super Bowl world? I'm sorry. It's getting stupid again. I know we're going on about this again
the thing about it is I hate saying George Bush, okay? Because it's not Bush, okay? He's a fucking puppet. It's the assholes that he represents, okay?
Yes.
The ones that he got fucking jobs.
Yes.
The head of the FCC is Colin Powell's son.
Yes.
Okay? And the thing that I have right now, and everybody will love too, but nobody wants to mention it, okay? Check this out. I have a feeling in my honest heart that this will go through if Bush is reelected. Congress is now drafting up a new version of a bill to put into power, but they want to reinstate the draft.
Jesus, I knew it.
Hold on, can you pardon me for a second?
Yeah.
Better go there!
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, dog's trying to eat cat shit. Hold on.
Oh, nice.
Get out. Baron, out now.
He must be bored.
Yeah, I know. So anyhow, basically, but they want to have other little factors, too.
Okay.
aside from traditional exemptions, like myself right there, assuming I was eligible for the draft. Well,
assuming
I mean, technically I am because I'm not past 27 yet.
Okay.
But if I were to try to get drafted right now, I am not eligible.
Okay.
Single child, male, only one there to carry on the family name.
All right.
So that is like a provision inside.
Okay.
But they're taking other provisions away, which protected people. College students are no longer ineligible.
Really?
Correct. They want to make it. If you're a college student, you get drafted, you're out of college. Your ass is going to war.
Oh, that's horrible. That's horrible.
Well, the goal in mind, though, is to prevent any kind of like economic shift right there, you know, to buy your way out by putting somebody in college, like was done in the 60s.
Okay.
So that's the reasoning behind it, which I agree, because myself right there, I hate baby boomers.
Okay.
I find that typically a lot of baby boomers have a you owe me attitude.
Really?
Yes. And that in all honesty, that's an entire different rant I'm going to save for another show.
Okay.
But yeah, going to reinstate the draft, and we're going to censor everybody so we can't complain about it.
Oh, Jesus, that's horrible. I you know, in all honesty, I guess, I don't know.
4 more years, New World Order, what do you think is more appropriate?
I don't know. After 4 more years, we'll see how it ends. You know, it's because it's what's going to be after. That's going to be the hard part. It's not going to be what he's going to do. You know, that's something we'll just have to put up with. It's what's going to happen after he's out of office and how we're going to be completely fucked after that.
Yeah.
That's what's going to be fucked. You know, that's what's going to be the hard part, is dealing with the aftermath. Once he gets out of office, let's say he is voted out this election, okay? You know, let's say for some weird miracle, someone else is in that office. The aftermath is going to be fucking hellacious because there's going to be a lot of change. Now, of course, the guy who wants to go in, Kerry, he can't make up his mind one way or another. So as far as I'm concerned...
Kerry just, to me...
I'm for it. I'm against it. I'm for it. Give me a coin. I'll figure this out once and for all.
Yeah, it's like take Ross Perot with drive and then swap it for commitment to run.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, that's Kerry. I honestly don't like Kerry.
Yeah, something about him bugs me too. I mean, to be completely honest, looking at... You know, all of his... I mean, I'm just basing it on his viewpoints. I don't give a shit what he did in Vietnam or didn't do.
He
served... He's one of the first presidents we've had in quite a few years. A couple presidents, because Clinton didn't serve, really. And Bush, I'm sorry, he didn't serve, really.
He technically did. He was shot down.
Yeah, he was shot down. Yeah, how far? Over his ranch? Yeah. Okay. That's what I'm saying. I mean, there was too much... There's too much of a gap in his service. Now, I can't speak for myself. I've never been in the military. I've never served. But I can assure you that there's probably a few people out there who have served that find it very irritating to know that Bush, in fact, figured a way to get out of most of it. Okay, Kerry was there. Kerry was in Vietnam. If you really want to look at that, he's there. That has more credence to me. Okay, but I don't know. I mean, I find that his politics are too wavering. He's more shifty. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at things, and I'll go, okay, I see your point. He'll, however, just do an about-face on any topic.
Yeah.
You know, you tell him, porn is bad, porn is bad. You tell him, hey, porn is okay. Well, I think it's okay then. You know, and
yeah,
it's
I don't
really,
like
it's
him.
Too shifty. That I can't have that as a president either. So we're fucked. I mean, what are we going to do? Oh, someone, vote cares, vote libertarian. No. And remember, a vote for Nader is a vote for Bush. So that's all I got to say about that. We're fucked for another 4 years. We just have to get used to it.
Yeah.
To be completely honest. Teachers have to put up with the crappy laws of No Child Left Behind. People have to get ready for all those wonderful tax breaks on the high-end scale. And I'm not talking just about the whole, rich get rich, poor get poor, because we know that's going to happen no matter who's in charge. It's just going to be more obvious when we have someone who is like Bush in charge. Enough said.
Yeah.
Anyhow, along on that lines, the high moral motherfuckers that are out there, you can just go ahead and eat my fucking ass because I don't give a shit what I'm told, how I'm told, I will enjoy it anyway. And if Ashcroft wants to go after the porn industry like he's doing...
What?
Oh, you haven't heard this.
No, I've not heard this.
Okay, they're now starting initiatives to try to go after the entire porn industry.
Really? Because I know they're doing something with spam. I heard that right there.
Well, they're doing... Well, come on, what are they doing? Really? What are they really doing with spam?
Nothing, I know.
Nothing.
But no, explain.
What they really want to do with the porn industry right now, and they're starting to draft up bills, is to try to basically make it so illegal it's obliviated. They figure, hey, if we can go after the porn industry, we're doing another great thing to save the morality of America. Well, you know what? Fuck you, because people who really do look at porn or people who really enjoy porn are usually either adults or have the mental responsibilities that go along with something of that nature. Gun ownership, sort of slightly kind of on the same lines, but we all know anybody can get guns. I guess they figure since anybody can get porn, why not get rid of the porn? And that makes you and me better people. Because we can't see titties that aren't our wives shaking in our faces, and we can't pause to fap off to it.
So what do you think we should do to stop this then?
What should we do to stop this? I don't know what there is to do to stop this. I really have no honest idea. I would love to say, let's vote Kerry. Well, you know what? I can't trust the guy. There's no trust in that guy. You know, Dean was one guy I could trust because he was fucking emotional.
I'm not talking about... No, elected officials don't do shit, okay? We don't
what
elect...
What are we going to do about it?
We don't elect a president. We choose a regime.
Yeah, we do choose a regime. And you know what? To be honest, what could we do about it? There's not much, because if we were to try to go on a pro-porn campaign, that gets us nice and blackballed. And then they try to find things to throw us into fucking jail or, put us away without a trial for at least 3 years for.
True. Understandable. But you can do more damage in the system than you can outside of it.
Absolutely. But you know what? I don't know anybody in the system. I really don't. And if I did, I'm sure as hell sure
but
that
you
they're
know
not
going
to do anything because they're going to be afraid for their own ass.
Exactly. But you know what, man? What we can do right here is we can make people aware, man. We can do our part to anger people, to spark that fucking that revolution in a man.
Well, you're talking revolution, and all we really want to make sense is just – it's not even a revolution we want. All we want is to make sure that the moral majority isn't fully represented of people that it isn't really represented for.
The moral majority doesn't exist. I'm sorry. I do not believe the majority of Americans
A moral
here,
minority, excuse me.
Yeah, I don't believe they're really this way. I think people are just fucking stupid ass sheep. I really, really fucking do. In my opinion right here, truth be told, it's really funny. You speak, we've talked about that, like Illuminati. Yeah, we've spoken about it before, and you honestly believe that there's people that control all that.
I honestly believe, I know it sounds crazy, and you guys can think I'm all half-baked, X-File, whatever you want. I truly believe that there is some sort of an Illuminati out there.
Okay.
Now,
I don't think so.
What level does it exist? Is it one guy controlling all? No, I doubt that. I'm not that stupid naive.
Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. In my opinion, I don't think it exists right now. I think that, in all honesty right there, there were people behind the scenes. They were doing it in a sense to, the Big Brother sense, but still had a sense of realism, how to keep people civilized, but yet not oppress them.
Right.
I think, you know what, if that was there, man, it's fucking gone.
Well, you know what, it may have been gone, or maybe it's here now, and maybe it's showing its head in a big scale way. Maybe it's not. Maybe it isn't gone. Maybe it is here. They're saying, okay, you know what? We really need to get back to our Puritan values. Because, well, moving to America was all about getting released from religion. But see, the people who moved over here to get out of that crutch of religion were some of the most uber fucking religious people ever. So we're fucked. America is based upon Puritan values. Simply said, Puritan values. And if anybody thinks otherwise, well, I'm sorry. That's what our forefounders really truly were, was Puritans.
So what do you think? You're going to be retiring in America?
Am I going to be retiring in America?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Canada?
Maybe Italy. Maybe Europe. Somewhere in Europe. I don't know. I honestly do not think I will be retiring in the United States. I think that when I am old and gray, I will be in another country altogether. Maybe something with dual citizenship, because I'm a wishy-washy, liberal-ass American. So I may want to come back someday if something goes bad. But you know what? As far as I'm concerned, and someone here who just pointed out, Chazad, yes, the Masons exist.
Masons
can be construed as part of that Illuminati chain.
Masons are very weak right now, though. Masons have been on a...
They're all
on
killing
a,
each other, but that's another story altogether.
Masons have been actually going for a heavy recruitment lately. In the past few years right now, really starting to make themselves more well-known. The problem is
anonymity.
Yeah, that kind of helped them, stay hidden in that right there, but people don't care anymore. Like, you're just a bunch of fucking dudes that sit around and play poker.
That's something, in all honesty, that is something that's happening to everyone in America. I mean, the people joining up into social groups, anything from Elks Club, Eagles Club, PTA, you name it, the memberships are all down. I mean, we have this huge, we had, I should say, until we had a couple of thread killers. We had this huge discussion about unions and the message boards.
Right.
You know, membership in unions is down. It's apathy. People don't care. And you know what really can get you? You want to talk about the changing regimes or what we can do? It is saying what we can say. Things like this, the internet radio, voting, making sure that when there's a discussion, put your two cents in. Don't be passive. Don't be wishy-washy. It's too easy to do. We look at everything right now, and we can see apathy is everywhere. People don't care about anything except themselves. We're living in a culture where it's a very individualized culture. We don't socialize anymore as much as we used to, and therein lies some of the problems. We have no ownership for what we see on the news. We have no care about it. It doesn't affect us, but it does. No one realizes this.
Indeed.
Anyhow.
Know what? With Reverend Hammer right there. Ooh, Reverend Hammer. I don't know if I would really totally... a different post about the message boards right now.
Okay.
I don't know
if I got to calm down.
Yeah, I don't know if I can really agree with him 200%, you know, with the severity of his words. But I do agree that, I was a little kind of by that, too.
Yeah. By the way, what he's talking about is Red Room went on a posting spree. I don't know.
Spree.
I'm indifferent. Ooh. She posted every dead thread there was out there to bring them all back alive. I don't know. I'm indifferent.
It was done half asleep
Knights
and killed
of Columbus.
It.
So,
yeah, and you know, it's like I say,
everybody has an organization. I don't belong to the ARRL, Ham Radio Amateur Radio Relay League. I'm a ham radio operator, though. I'm not even an operator. I have a fucking paper license and a radio that's constantly on charge. I have CBs. I don't use them. It's that apathy again. And you hear me bitch about that when we.
Why does it have to be apathy? Why does it have to be considered that way? You know what? I will tell you one thing right now. The best advice I ever got, and this is really interesting. Anybody who owns or knows about DeLoreans right there, well, he says to me, well, are you a member of a club? I say, no. Why do I have to be a member of a club?
You know what? And a lot of things, like Car Owners Club is one thing.
No, it's not.
Well, okay, you're right, because there's a political system there.
Oh, is there ever?
And you know, that's one of the things that happens. You're not a part of a club because you don't want to get involved in some of these people's arguments. Pure and simple.
Well, it's not just
you
that
don't
right
want
there.
To be involved with their discussions. You don't want to play their games. However, the best part about these clubs is if people like you or me really did care and join them, mm-hmm. we'd fucking put a monkey wrench into their entire system because we don't share their political beliefs.
Well,
and
well,
we're not a fucking afraid to speak out about it.
Oh, well, the thing about it is it's even more than that right there, okay? See, a lot of times right here, you have a lot of people that have their own system for their own ego, want to set up where they're the main contact information.
Right.
Or there's some sort of fucking demigod among people in these clubs.
You know, and it's, a lot of it is understandable. People need that sense of acceptance. Some people take it too far because they have an ego.
Right. And at the same time, too, you know,
I give you an odd look when I said ego. But anyhow.
Well, a big problem with cars, for example, is people want to only do the things inside. They want to join the club, run their club, give themselves awards and shit like that, build themselves up. I don't want any part of that.
Okay. You know, in all honesty, you want to build yourself up. You want to build the club up. But you know what? A lot of like things like clubs, like PTA and ARRL, it's all about getting the fucking message out. Every year I hear, and this is ham radio. Volkuris, you know this. I don't know if anybody of you are on ham radio nuts. By the way, Toe, I agree with you. Most people care. It's just not they care to act. But not caring to act is proof that they don't care. Anyhow, and that's my opinion, humbly as it is. When it comes to a club, when it comes to me and like joining the ARRL, you know, their whole thing is about ham radio membership. Not a lot of young people enter into ham radio. You know, they were really amazed when I went to a club meeting here in Vegas, and they go, how long have you had your license? Oh, since I was 18, back in 95. Oh, really? Bunch of old people. Almost all of them are old people. You know, no young people get involved. Why? It's geeky. It's nerdy. You know, I don't want to be associated with that. Well, fine.
Yeah.
That may be your needs or wants or what you don't need or want.
Exactly.
Car clubs. You know, you see a lot of older people. You know, it's a battle of age because, you know, when we're young, we're idealistic. We're not set in our ways quite as solid.
Right, right.
We're set, but it ain't like, you know, quickcrete all tightened down.
Right. And this is very interesting. Shazad says something right here talking about the Jeep club right there.
Okay.
When they do their off-road expeditions and the jamborees. He says there's always a head off-roader. Everything he does is godlike. If you go bigger than him, you're labeled a fucking poser. Now that's true.
That is
okay,
true.
Okay, I'll give you a great fucking example of this. Do you know what a Concours d'Elegance contest is?
No.
Okay. The purpose of a Concours d'Elegance contest is to restore a car to factory condition, not showroom. Showroom condition is one thing. Factory is something else. you must restore a car to the point where it was labeled, inspected, okay, ready to be shipped out.
Okay.
Okay. Within the DeLorean community for a good number of years, there was actually a big money play with a lot of this. You would have people that would restore a car to factory condition. But what other people would do is they create a structure where they could give themselves points for dealer accessories. Luggage racks.
Like you have.
Not installed yet, yes. But luggage racks, those side treatments, ski racks, which is a very rare item. Things of that sort. Different kinds of floor mats, et cetera, et cetera. The thing about it is, though, what's happening is a lot of that old guard has actually lost a lot of power in that. So what they consider now is this original? Is it actually on the car?
Okay.
You have this? Great. You put a luggage rack on? Well, that's nice and all, but since it wasn't done at the factory, that's a dealer option. We're kicking you. We're actually taking points off.
Insane. And
no, that makes sense. That makes sense. That has opened the door for a lot of people to compete that couldn't do before.
Oh, because they don't get the...
Because they didn't have the money toward these other points.
Okay, now that makes sense. I like that. Okay, right. Now I understand. Anyhow.
We're going to take a break.
Yeah, we're going to go and take a break. You are listening to the Ultimate Internet Radio Show.
Spankwagon Radio.
Only at spankwagon.vftp.net.
Now, the question is, just as which way will the breeze blow outside, are we going to go angry? Are we going to go happy? You'll just have to wait to find out.
And remember to chat with us live in our chat room, irc.slashnet.org. Spankwagon's the room.
And you must be there, because if you are not there, you are square, as they have said many a generation ago.
Also, if you got a friend, get him tuning in. We'll
exactly.
be back.
Spankwagon.
Quit ding.
These are some good fries. They're done.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the world's greatest internet radio show ever.
Mail was open and it's checking.
She was checking your mail. You forgot the audios. You're the audio man. Speaking of audio man, let's cut into this real quick. Oh, don't do that. You find wood. Don't do that shit. All right, really quick.
I was like doing a drum roll for a build-up and shit because you said real quick and I'm like.
I know. And you're today's my problem for queuing stuff up. Let me get this going.
God, you're horrible.
Yeah, I know. I'm on. Got a waffle. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the Spank
you
Wagon Radio.
Got a waffle?
I got a waffle. Well, hey, sort of related. Spank Wagon Radio presents the next big thing for the ultimate radio show.
Bad Food Night.
Viewer's choice. From now until 4/23/04, we want you in the forum, and it is listed forum, and I have links on the index, to suggest foods that are popular but bad. We're talking some of the funkiest store-bought foods you can imagine. Also, if you have an idea for a bad or unusual mix of food, like peep juice smoothies or bacon cocoa, post it here. On the 4/23 show, that's the next show, kids, Claude and I will pick the three that intrigue us the most.
Nothing is too extreme to be considered.
Well, hold on. You just made me lose my flow, man. Aww. We will pick the three that intrigue us the most and go to lunch on the 4/30/04 show. And now the fine print. All suggestions are considered and subject to our approval. However, we will not eat something that is alive, hazards our health, or something that you would not eat voluntarily for entertainment's sake. Okay, I just had to get that out of the way.
I interrupted Trincher's flow. Hence, yeah. I am the maxi pad of Spank Wagon.
It's not good. All right.
Would you eat a maxi pad?
No, I would not eat a maxi pad. I mean, granted, if it's unused, I'm sure it's all it is, just cotton and filler and something else that absorbs every ounce of saliva in my body.
Crunchy pad.
Ew. I don't want to know what that is. Hey, really?
If it was a tampon, it'd be like an O. Henry, huh? Once you let it dry out.
That's just wrong. You're gonna. Okay. I'll kill your mic. I'm going to kill mine, too, but. All right. Want to play some music for these guys?
Scabettes.
Let's play some music for them.
Scabettes. Yeah, let's play some music.
No, I'm serious. Actually, what I did this week, my assignment was given to me from Claude to find music that everyone may not have heard ever before, but might enjoy nonetheless. So I picked up a couple albums. The first album I picked up from Big B's Music Store here in Las Vegas, a great little used music store we always talk about. Blue Man Group. Of course, this Blue Man Group, man, I got the album cover for promotional use only, sale or other transfers prohibited. Must be returned on demand of recording company. So I got.
We want it back.
I got a demo. Anyhow, we have Blue Man Group, and we actually have a song called Time to Start off of the Blue Man Group. This is their second album called The Complex. It's very different from their first album, Audio, which was a lot of songs that they play on their show in the various cities, Chicago, New York, Las Vegas. Called Tubes. The Complex is not related to those songs. It's completely different new music. Why don't we go ahead and is Time to Start queued up?
Okay, yeah, not a problem. Go ahead, and everything is now queued up, ready to go.
Go ahead and hit play. We'll be back in a little bit, folks.
Spank Wagon.
It's time to start.
Rock concert movement number one. The basic head bob. Ready, go.
Time to start.
moment, it will be time to execute rock concert movement number 3, the up and down jumping motion. Here are your instructions. Step 1, bend your knees and then jump into the air. Step 2, let gravity bring you back down, and upon landing, rock your head forward. Step 3, repeat. Ready, go.
Nice fade, nice fade. All right, so everybody seems to like Blue Man Group, and that's cool, man. Cool, man. Yeah, I'm like a professional DJ, yo.
Well, that's good to hear.
You didn't like it, though. You're not into Blue Man Group. That's cool. That's acceptable.
Yeah, to me, it's atmosphere music. I couldn't drive to it.
See, I
can. It's really funny as we had this like discussion before the show,
yeah.
And the chat room agrees with you. They could drive to this music. I couldn't. But then again, I don't know if you've ever really driven with me when I'm in that driving mode.
No, every time I've driven with you and you're like, I'm like exhausted and I lay down, I'm like trying to note out, just, you know.
And it's karaoke time.
And you start singing.
I've sung in different languages. I did karaoke in Japanese one time.
Oh, Jesus, he did.
While you were trying to sleep.
All right.
Yeah.
We got more music, though.
Okay.
Okay, now this one's a big departure from what we just got done playing. This one's actually from called Modest Mouse.
Large departure.
You probably have heard me talk about them before. I have not even heard this song yet. This is their big release that they're sending out from Modest Mouse. The album is Good News for People Who Love Bad News. Modest Mouse is actually indie rock. So if you're not in indie rock, we apologize ahead of time. If you are in indie rock, we apologize ahead of time.
Modest Mouse.
Modest Mouse.
And which song will we be playing?
Float On.
Float On. I believe I've heard of that song. I'm lying.
You're lying because I just picked up the album today. It just came out like last week.
I know.
So the album just literally came out. I got it today. Again.
So you have a brand new track.
Brand new track. Never before played. Just much like the Blue Man Group. Anyhow.
You sure? I do. I wish I had known that ahead of time. I had a cool intro for that.
Dear. Anyhow. If you are listening in live, spankwagon.vftp.net. You can go to our chat room. Spankwagon is the room inside of irc.slashnet.org. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you hate. We also, people have been mentioning this in the past. They want to send us music to play for others that they may want to kind of introduce to the public. Let me know. Send us emails, chat stuff. So give it a try. Are you ready?
Oh, yes. Yeah, why not? I'm ready.
All right, let's cue
actually, on. Actually, I'm already ready.
Float On from Modest Mouse.
Here we go.
That was not it.
You know what? I changed screens and it actually screwed up. I apologize. Everyone's heard that song before. That's a different tune. I lost it. I can't find it. I was so professional, I jinxed myself.
Oh,
okay.
That's great. Are you ready now?
This is Modest Mouse. Float on.
So that was Modest Mouse.
That was Modest Mouse with
Float On. You know what? I'm a little apprehensive because that was very popish for them.
It was kind of like Do You Realize Meets Shiny Happy People.
Yeah, that was kind of weird because Modest Mouse is pretty much more depressing. Kind of sounds like Reverend Aaron. Kind of sounds like something I expect here on college radio. And that's just it. They've actually been around for quite a while. You want to talk about like what Chizadier, of course, what I've heard is mostly from the bigger stuff by groups who adopted the genre. These people were part of the original movement of the genre. So
you said genre.
I know, I mispronounced it like fiddle. Why don't we go ahead and cue that one up next?
Oh yes, that's one of my favorites.
One of Claude's favorites here,
mainly because there's a video which accompanies this. Not just the fact it has a DeLorean in it. Yeah.
No, yeah. That's what
brought it to my attention.
Yeah, it was brought to Claude's attention because there's a video out there, which, by the way, it is on the CD.
Is it?
Yeah, it should be on the CD.
Oh, it's great. The video is actually done in old school EGA.
Oh, really old school.
It's really great.
And by the way, everybody here is indifferent. Hey, that's cool. It's something I have to listen to the whole album. Maybe if I find something that's a little bit better than that one, maybe I'll pull it. But most Modest Mouse albums and stuff that I've downloaded, I've liked every song that I've heard. So this is a little more pop than normal.
I've heard them on the radio before, and they were pretty dark, and I like dark.
Yeah, and what you may have heard them, if you ever watch, there's a Nissan commercial, that uses Modest Mouse music. And you'll hear it because that a lot of those guitars are very, you know, the way the lead guitar, and I can't think of his name, plays, it's very similar.
Well, it was the most excellent riff in this song, save for the bridge, which was Casio demo mode.
Yeah, it was Casio demo. So I said, it seemed a little too pop for me. We'll find out more, though. Do you have the next one queued up, sir?
Hell, you know me. I am.
Yeah, he loves this song, so he'll queue it right up.
Yes.
Spankwagon Radio.
Only at spankwagon.vftp.net. That's right. We're back. Actually, I was doing a helicopter.
Yeah, you should have seen him, man. He moved all the furniture like really quick. They got half its on wheels.
Yeah, I know, man.
Junior, senior.
I got rug burns from doing the worm.
Yeah, that was. And your hair's like falling out. Yeah. Junior, senior. It's called Move Your Feet. Yeah. You may
I love
have seen
that
the
song,
video.
Actually.
Yeah, I really like it too. I mean, we both played it a lot when we were watching the video online.
I think it was a Link at one point too.
It was a Link at one time. B&M points out so weird hearing us play this song because Junior Senior's Danish and all. B&M, we love Danish.
Yeah, cream cheese filled.
Yeah, really? Come on,
Jesus. Cherry,
No, they all have a silly coconut song. Yes, there is a silly coconut song.
Yes, it's
on this album, but maybe some other day. Finally, though, we got one last song to cue up here, and this is the album that burns my ass because I bought this album for its full price because that's all they could sell for, $13.99 at Big B's as well. And the problem here, the absolute problem I have with this song is. The only two songs that have made it to the radio are the only two good songs. I was hoping to kind of scan this thing and find some good music other than what was played on the radio, and they have not disappointed me. They've not proven me wrong when it comes to the whole, shitty CDs. They at least got two good songs out of this. And Claude doesn't know who they are, but I can guarantee once he hears the song, he will. Let's cue it up. I'm sure everybody else knows who it is because it's getting heavy radio play, and we're just all part of that little sheep clique. Are we ready, Claude?
Almost.
You are listening to Spankwagon Radio.
Spankwagon Radio, only at spankwagon.vftp.net. You know us, you love us, and I found the song.
Okay, ready?
Ready.
Yeah, if anybody guessed Jet, you win. Don't know what you win, but you win.
Yeah.
It's there from their album Get Born. It's Cold Hard Bitch. The other song that everyone was thinking about is Are You Gonna Be My Girl? A lot of video play, a lot of radio play. And see, I bought it because I was thinking, you know what? Two good songs off of an album, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Pretty good deal to guarantee that, hey, maybe, just maybe, it'll be a good album. But I was let down. Reverend in the chat room was saying they sound like the Rolling Stones.
Maybe if you were doing like a late 80s comparison after the Steel Wheels album, perhaps. It's not old school Rolling Stones like that. It's more like when Mick got old and fucking greedy,
yeah,
and everybody couldn't figure out why Keith Richards was still alive. If I had to pick a specific song this really did remind me of, God, what's that song, man? I'm trying. Love is Strong. That's what it reminds me
of.
The one where they got the giants and shit running around New York. That's it. In all honesty, the first thing that really did pop into my mind was like AC/DC
is what I was saying to myself when I was listening. I'm going, well, it sounds pretty good, and I mean, it's a sound I like because I like AC/DC, so it kind of fits in that kind of. I kind of pigeonholed it a little bit too much, but you know, it's not. I mean, AC/DC, I can listen to their albums front to back. This one, I don't think I'll be able to.
Well, in all honesty, I got it
at a used record store.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing about the song right there, "Cold Hard Bitch." The problem is it needs a little bit more lyrics right there, and we need some better guitar riffs.
Unique guitar riffs.
Yeah. In all honesty right there, with the band right there, I don't know how old the band is.
Pretty young, I think.
Yeah.
From the looks of it, it's a pretty young band.
Yeah. If you want to know the honest truth right there, I think that's like a song, if give it like about a year or two, they recover it and they'll blow you away. They just need a little bit more.
They need something. There is something
more,
they need.
Yeah, a little bit more experience and variety, more influence on them.
Yeah, I agree.
But otherwise, not too bad.
All right. Why don't we go ahead right now, since we're not going to take a break, because obviously we've been taking several small ones. Why don't we go ahead and give out the mad props for the room?
Maddest propus.
All righty, ladies and gentlemen. First off, no, you can grab that one.
God, he just like died. The liquor just died in your arms tonight. Must have been something to say.
Okay, right. This is the music. Not what you're singing.
Well, that's a good song.
It is, too. Afraid of Americans. Alrighty. First up, he's Danish, and like all things Danish, made of cream cheese.
Or he's got cream cheese inside of him.
Ooh. It's B&M.
Mad props.
He comes to the room. He doesn't like indie music, but that's okay. He loves Britney Spears. It's Chizad.
Mad props. Hold on. Clicker Liquor is dieseling. Next up in the room, it's Claude.
Boo. Up next is the always here every week. Thinks he's a music critic, but that's only because they haven't shut down his Nutella yet.
It's Indie Rock Pete.
No, it's Reverend Hammer. Mad Prop.
Maddest Propus.
He runs the keen site called Ars Anime. He keeps updated with a funky color scheme. It's Toe.
Mad props.
And finally, he's soon to be an invalid because of his own inability to ride a bicycle. Or was it a motorcycle? We don't know. He hasn't shared. He's covered in gauze blood and he ruined a pair of underwear. That's what he posted in the message chat rooms.
Well, you know what? Maybe that's... Well, I got a question. Did you do it for the show?
I doubt it, but he did it for himself, apparently. It's Volkeris.
Volkeris is Madis Propiceros. Props! Yeah, that's it, dude. I agree with the Telemundo guy. Telemundo guy giving out mad props.
That'd be something.
Yeah.
Ooh. Hey, you want to hear... I was pulling up an interesting article here.
Where are you now? Where are you pulling up something interesting?
This is great. This is something we've talked about and we've talked about. If you haven't noticed, our shows pretty much sound alike. But
God.
Not. No,
Jesus, man. You know we've only killed an hour.
I know.
God, we're like already like ready to give out like fucking final say so and go, yeah, bye. We're sorry.
I'm not ready to give that out.
Sorry. Well, I'm a little eager tonight. For everybody else, guess what? After the show, we're going to see Kill Bill Volume 2.
Kill Bill Volume 2 down at the...
Neonopolis.
Yeah, Neonopolis. I don't know what theaters they are, but... Yeah, it does not deserve mad props because it's shitty management. But anyhow, yeah, Kill Bill Volume 2 tonight.
But they have the gas pump of artificial butter.
Mm. Oh, you push the button, he just dispenses fake butter.
Mm.
All right.
So anyhow, you had something interesting to share with us.
Get this. Earlier this week, you may have heard this, McDonald's has decided to unveil a health campaign starring, get this, an adult version of a Happy Meal with a salad, bottled water, and a pedometer. Ah! Some critics obviously aren't buying this, though. They say that the Go Active Meals for Adults, which launches on May 6th nationwide, The meals will be boxed with a brochure urging customers to walk more.
You know, I'm sorry, but in all honesty, you know, I'm probably get flamed for this in the chat room, and perhaps deservedly so. I know it measures fat or some shit like that. What the fuck is a pedometer?
Pedometer's like measures your heartbeat as you walk. It's sort of like a personal speedometer.
A personal speedometer.
Yeah, just kind of go with me on that one.
A personal speedometer.
Odometer. Yeah.
Yeah, or, you find those on stationary
it's sort of like
bikes.
It's like a personal tack speedometer, odometer, kind of all in one. Really, I'm serious.
So, how's your low end torque?
You don't want to know.
Or should I ask your wife?
No. McDonald's has been the target of obesity lawsuits and criticism of its fatty foods from dietary experts. They're already now are starting to try to promote the healthy choices on some menu items such as their salads, which have more.
The chicken salad has more calories than a quarter pounder.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, a Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese.
I'm just saying because B&M, they don't have the metric system. They only have the metric system.
Yeah. So, anyhow, Mike Roberts, head of McDonald's U.S. businesses, said of the new campaign, it's the right thing for our customers and it's good for our business.
Yeah, you know what McDonald's health food is?
What's that?
Locking the doors. I'm sorry, that's the only way they'll ever get that.
You want to eat healthy McDonald's? Walk out. The Oak Brook, Illinois-based company announced its latest efforts to build a healthier image in Washington, where Congress is considering legislation to block lawsuits blaming the food industry for making people fat.
Interesting.
That's here we
great.
Go. This is another great quote from Tommy Thomason, a U.S. obesity epidemic expert or something like that. It's important to recognize it's important to recognize companies doing the right thing, Thompson said, while standing amid McDonald's executives at a news conference. How much do you want to bet McDonald's executives do not eat McDonald's food? That just dawned on me.
I'm not going to bet you that. I would lose. they don't eat it.
They don't eat it. Anyhow, so yeah, this is pretty much saying that McDonald's is going to have the adult Happy Meal with salad, bottled water. I'm sorry. I'm not buying it. If you want healthy
salad
food,
and bottled water.
Go out to a goddamn grocery store. Go to a fucking grocery store. There's three aisles I don't go into in a grocery store. I haven't in a while.
Automotive products, pet idol, and feminine hygiene.
Yeah, well, maybe there's more than three.
Woo!
Maybe there's a lot more than three. But no, I don't go
I
down like,
in
the
one.
Chip aisle. I don't go down the soda aisle. You know, unless I really want to torture myself.
Dude, have you ever been down the... Have you ever... Just next time, you know... Next time you feel like, you know, you want a snack or something, or you want something to convince you to, like lose weight, walk down the snack aisle, not to see what's on the shelves, but the people taking them off.
Yes, that's a great little thing to do. Go down where they have the cookies and the chips and the Doritos and all that shit, and look at the people eating the stuff.
Oh, dude.
Makes you feel better every day.
My father.
Unless you're one of them.
My father had one weakness for snack candy that was down the snack food aisle. I can't stand this day.
What's that?
Flaky Fix.
What the hell are those?
Dude, it's
I've
like...
I've never even heard of those.
Flaky Fix, all right? It's like, imagine like vanilla... imagine a Neapolitan wafer.
Okay.
Covered in chocolate.
Oh, my God.
Like nut sawdust.
Jesus.
I can't, like...
No, I'm kind of curious what one of those tastes like, because I kind of might like that.
Flaky Fix. Oh, but it's a dairy product.
Yeah, well, you know, got to avoid certain things. So anyhow.
Yeah, you'll fart.
Dairy.
Goddamn, every time you have ice cream, dude, it's bad.
I know. Anyhow, so this leads into what did you have?
Well, I had a very funny shtick for the show here, but Trencher wanted to shoot me down.
I didn't want to shoot you down. I just didn't think it was as funny.
Okay, well, basically, for everybody here, let's just get out of the way. Fine. I was going to go with a shtick to recall Mayor McCheese. What has Mayor McCheese done for McDonaldland? And I was going to go on a rant about how he doesn't care about children because the fry kids are all the time running off
They're
by
themselves. They're fry guys.
Fry kids are running off by themselves all the time. Where are their parents at? At the same time, you know, what kind of fucking, you know, how tough can he be on crime? Because, you know,
the Hamburglar's always out.
He's always out, man. Okay, and what, you know, all this other shit. Grimace is a minority because he's obviously a creature of color. And he never gets any fucking work. He's all his time just standing around loitering. At least Birdie has a job, but oh, let's see. Birdie's a woman, therefore she can't do her job right, which is why she crashes all the time. It just, you know, I mean, the fry kids are obviously retarded.
Why do you figure? Maybe they're just a lower life form.
Dude, they're
and
retarded.
And they're fries.
They're retarded.
They're fucking pom-poms with tennis shoes.
Dude, they try to hide his bushes, and they're every color but green.
Okay, this is retards. These are retards.
Yes, and those
we'll
are good.
We'll get to that later. But yeah, but you had some other stuff on here I actually enjoyed a lot.
So basically, I was going to do this shtick, and I found this great list of anti-McDonald's stuff. Not rhetoric, but I mean, like, just pure facts. Ironically enough, it came from a great source of Rotten.com. I didn't realize this. I honestly didn't realize this until I found it. I found this on a Google search. But, you know, so since Stranger doesn't want to do the funny stuff, let's just go into a
rant. I don't know. I just didn't think it was all funny. He was, like, trying to sell me. And at first, I was in a bad mood to begin with, which is never good.
God, my wife's been nagging me too, up all night.
So I was in a bad, pissy mood as it was. But
although, there's some...
The fucking little factoids there are interesting as shit.
Yes, yes, yes. It's very interesting. We have some great quotes. First of all, let's make something clear here. The McDonald brothers. Ah, yes. Hold on.
We have to do something since this is one of those kind of segments.
Okay, behind our door number one, number two, or number three. Which would you choose?
I would say let's go for what's behind door number three.
Okay, door number three. Let's see, one.
Where's
two,
the doorknob?
Three. All right, here we go. All right, so here we go. Let's fade to make it appropriate. Cut forward, and I'm getting very professional. This. Hey, wait, shit, where'd it go? Oops, I'm putting it in the wrong place. All right, are you ready?
For door number three.
McDonald's was founded by the McDonald's brothers, who started their own fast food restaurant. Not a chain, but a restaurant. And their goal was speedy service. You can
understandable.
Actually see that with a little hamburger character. Later on, they decided to employ the help of a generous little man named Ray Kroc, who wanted to go ahead and help them start franchises for their fabulous formulas for hamburgers and their speedy service type attitude, which is basically an assembly line for hamburgers.
Right. Okay. Cock guns to put on the mayo.
Since then, Ray Kroc has actually erased all history of the McDonald's brothers and put himself into position as founder of the company. All his cards do is they say Ray Kroc, they have a McDonald's logo, and the word founder. Those are his business cards.
Nice.
Here's an actual quote from Ray Kroc. We have found out that we cannot trust some people who are nonconformists. We will make conformists out of them. The organization cannot trust the individual. The individual must trust the organization.
Nice.
Isn't that great? Yes, Ray Kroc, everyone. All right. He's a wacky guy. Yes, yes, yes. So it's very interesting right here. 2nd March 1955, Ray Kroc founds McDonald's Systems Incorporated. It is later renamed McDonald's Corporation in 1960. Later on, as we find out going through the history of time here, it's very interesting. Did you know that McDonald's stole the idea of the drive-thru from Wendy's?
No, I didn't.
Oh, yes. Oh, ooh, here's a red letter date. 1972, McDonald's CEO Ray Kroc funnels $250,000 to President Richard M. Nixon in exchange for a 20% reduction in the minimum wage for teenagers.
Wow.
Isn't that great? Yes. He's one hell of a guy.
Man, that's a shrewd businessman.
Mm-hmm. You got to declare. Oh, President McDonald's Japan. Din Fujita declares the reason Japanese people are so short and have yellow skin is because they've eaten nothing but fish and rice for 2,000 years. Going further, he says, if we eat McDonald's hamburgers and potatoes for 1,000 years, we'll become taller, our skin will become white, and our hair blonde.
No.
Actual quote from McDonald's president in 1971.
Jesus.
Going down further the list right here. God, I wish you'd fucking notated this. Okay. 3rd November 1982. Here's a very red letter date. McDonald's announces its first voluntary recall of 10 million Playmobil toys and distributed Happy Meals.
What happened?
The toys posed a potential choking hazard of children under 3.
No, that's not good.
Oh, no. During October 15th, 1984, during a campaign stop at McDonald's restaurant in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, President Ronald Reagan asks, what am I supposed to order?
What else do you order at a McDonald's? A Big
exactly.
Mac.
Exactly. That's right. 18th March 1986, an internal memo from the marketing department declares we can't at this stage of the situation really advertise actively defend nutrition. We don't sell nutrition, and people don't come to McDonald's for nutrition.
You know, I can agree with that comment 100%.
Exactly. They're not lying to you, sort of. 10th November 1986, McDonald's announces a voluntary recall of Lego toy sets distributing Happy Meals.
Okay.
The toys posed a potential choking hazard for children under 3.
Another choking hazard?
Ah. Huh. Now, this is something I did not know. This is a great commercial tie-in. August 1988, Mac and Me released in theaters. This horrible, low-budget ripoff of E.T. the Extraterrestrial was financed by McDonald's and the Coca-Cola Corporation. It also features Ronald McDonald in the film as himself.
Lame.
Exactly. Let's see. And, of course, we have 31st of January, 1990. McDonald's opens its first restaurant in the Soviet Union, or what it was former at the time, in Pushkin Square, Moscow, making it the first one inside, of course. And at this time, do you know what the price was for a Big Mac?
No.
12 American dollars.
Holy shit!
That's the actual truth. I can quote that because I remember it being announced on TV.
Damn.
And then, of course, we get to go down for, 1990. This is really great. McDonald's restaurants in America switched to 100% vegetable oil to cook its French fries.
Wonder what they were using before.
For the previous 3 years, it used a mixture of 7% cottonseed oil and 93% beef tallow.
Beef tallow?
Beef tallow. Explain for the good folks at home what beef tallow is.
Renderings.
You know them, you'll love them.
It's really hair, it's really hoof, it's really good. Get it in now.
1991, McDonald's launches the 320-calorie McLean Deluxe Sandwich.
Ooh.
It's removed 5 years later.
Oh.
One kind of hits home for me right here, mainly because of the idiots I have to deal with on saying this is a rare toy when it's not. Here we go. I lost my place. God. Here we go. 8th of May, 1992. McDonald's announces a voluntary recall of 8 million Doc DeLorean toys distributed in the Back to the Future Happy Meals in April 1992. The rear tires were prone to breaking off and potentially lodging in a child's larynx.
Larynx.
Larynx. Larynx. Tomato, tomato.
Linux.
Health.
Linux.
McDonald's.
Yeah.
Call it what you want.
Man.
Oh, it's great. As we go for that, let's see here. During McDonald's biennial worldwide convention, Chairman Michael Quinlan announces that the company has exceeded 100 million hamburgers served.
Jesus.
He recommends that from now on, franchises simply post billions and billions served.
See, I remember they had a McDonald's sign in my old back home, and it had numbers that they would change out every few months.
Oh, exactly, exactly. That's why.
1 month, they put it lower.
That's great. That's absolutely great.
They're swift, those McDonald's
23rd
employees.
March, 1996. McDonald's announces that due to mad cow disease, it will stop serving British beef in the United Kingdom. Then we go further down. Ooh, this is great. This was May 1996. Now, I remember this. Okay? With a $200 million marketing campaign, McDonald's launches a sandwich aided the baby boomers generation. It's a 560-calorie sandwich called the Arch Deluxe.
Yep.
Now, do you remember the campaign for this?
The kids were all, I can't eat that.
Okay, now this is the thing. It was billboards with these gigantic photos of children looking sad or somewhat angry.
Yep.
And it was in black and white.
Or color. We had a lot of color ones in Waterloo.
Here in Vegas, they were all black and white.
Really?
I thought they were posters for child abuse. I'm not joking. I'm not going for punchline. I really
No, I can realize that, you know, that would look like that because they didn't put any real words up there.
Yeah, it was just these pictures. No words, nothing. Maybe there was like fine print saying copyright McDonald's Corporation. I don't know.
How do you put fine print on a billboard? Anyhow.
Easy. Put fine print on a billboard, motherfucker. Engaging in a price war with its competitors. McDonald's slashes prices. Results? 4 months of diminished sales.
4 months.
Yes, 28 January 1997. Mince Powell. I'm sorry, this man's name is too close to menace. But Mince Powell is arrested for dealing marijuana out of the drive-thru window at McDonald's in Monroe, California.
I remember hearing about that on FARC.
Yes, very good.
So those are some of the actual tragedies. Oh, there's more.
Oh, it's great. It's even more. Let's see here. We have a great one. McDonald's launches the ill-conceived mail-for-you program, posing made-to-order meals in just 90 seconds.
You know what? I guarantee what that did.
A corporation spends $400 million retrofitting kitchens.
To slow everything down.
Exactly. And basically what happens is we have a lot of different red-letter dates here. But let's get on to the fun part.
Which one is that?
Lawsuits!
All right.
Okay, we have a different stuff right here. Trying to get the lid off of her McDonald's coffee.
Oh, the famous one.
February 27th, 1992. 79-year-old Stella Liebig accidentally spills the 180-degree beverage on herself, causing third-degree burns to her thighs, genitalia, and buttocks. After several surgeries and weeks of recuperation and skin grafts, Liebig asked McDonald's to turn down the temperature of their coffee and to give her $20,000 to defray her hospital medical bills.
Simple
request.
McDonald's
tells your lady to fuck off, as they had done for a decade, with other similar burns claims. Eventually, a jury awards her $2.9 million in the resulting lawsuit.
See, now that's interesting because we've always been told that she just won the lawsuit and that's frivolous.
Right.
But she just asked him to turn it down and help with the medical bills.
And she only asked for $2,000. Now, later, it goes on to say that the judgment was eventually reduced to only $680,000 after an appeal, and which it was then settled out of court for an undisclosed sum.
Okay.
So it was very interesting. Let's see. We have different employees dying of, like, electrocution, things like that. McDonald's in 1995 agreed to pay the federal government $5 million after failing to notify the U.S. Consumer Product Corporation Commission of playground injuries involving its Tug and Turn toy.
Interesting.
It is very interesting.
Why don't we go ahead and get one more in?
Let's see. Ooh, one more. Where can I start? Where do I have to go? Let's see. We have a lot of people with finding everything from spit to chewing wad to
chicken
broken
heads?
Hypodermic needles.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes. Stabbing people in the mouth. We have a different lot of stuff right here. It's really great. Now, then we have a lot of protests where people burn down McDonald's and shit like that. I mean, I'm really not impressed with that. We have great violence that happens at McDonald's. The shit that goes on there, stay away from McDonald's if you want to live. We have everything from rioting, drive-by shootings in the drive-thru, ironically. Bombs and stuff right there, you know, different shit like that. We also have some great celebrity quotes. Where the fuck was that? It was one. The singer Pink.
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 Oh, okay.
No,
yeah.
Pink. Pink was actually very interesting. She is quoted as saying that she herself used to take LSD and go to work and asked herself for bathroom duty when she came in early, so that way she could just sit in the stall and watch the tiles.
Nice.
So as you can tell, McDonald's strives to get the best employees it can.
Absolutely. So remember those teenagers that are serving you food. They probably haven't washed their hands. So that's our list of McDonald's stuff. Remember, guys, gals, everybody listening in, McDonald's hates you.
Of course, but you know what? It doesn't matter because your dumbass is loving it.
Exactly.
You're a fucking sheep.
We'll be back in a little bit, folks. You're listening to the greatest internet radio station, internet radio show ever.
Spank Wagon Radio, and we'll be back.
Spank Wagon.
Personality. I know your anger, I know your dream.
Dude, you can't sing.
So? You think it's going to stop me somehow?
No, that's the problem.
God.
All right, folks, you're listening to Spankwagon Radio.
Only at spankwagon.vftp.net. We are the best show on the interweb right now.
We are on the interweb.
That's
yes.
Right. Nobody else broadcasting right now can ever hold a candle to us.
Well, I don't know. They could try.
They can
but
try.
But it might burn our toes.
Nuh-uh, man.
But...
Well, is anyone else broadcasting on the internet right now at this moment? I think not.
Well, no, they're listening to us.
That's right.
Ah, now I get your point.
God, man. Listen to my double talking for once.
Yeah, well, that's the problem.
Anytime I engage in a meaningful conversation, there's always fine print. Learn.
Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for...
Dead Celebrity of the Week!
And this week was kind of an awkward week because no one really important died.
Well, actually,
no obvious celebrity.
Well, we do have some.
Did you dig up another one?
Well, hold on.
Pun not intended.
I actually have my. I have a hot link for dead celebrities. The first dead celebrity. We actually have two dead celebrities this week. Pseudo celebrity. The first one is Nick Yankovic, father of Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, with Nick Yankovic, he died tragically. What happened was in his San Diego home. He decided to start a fire to warm his bones, apparently, because it was cold.
Yeah.
And he forgot to open the flue.
No flue for you!
That's right. And what happened was it was carbon monoxide poisoning.
Yeah. Basically, he was found dead in his smoke-filled home in Fallbrook. He was the father of Weird Al Yankovic, according to San Diego County Medical Examiner's Office. Nick Louis Yankovic, 87, and his wife, Mary, 81, were found dead in their home.
That's right. Our second dead celebrity of the week is his wife, Mary Yankovic. Thank you for ruining that.
Sorry. were found dead in their home. And they even give the address. Do you want to know where they live?
Please.
226 Foxfire Lane.
Foxfire.
So, San Diego.
Irony.
They were found shortly after 1 a.m. or 1 p.m. Cause of death appeared to be carbon monoxide poisoning. The house was full of smoke when they opened the door. We examined the fireplace. It was a wood-burning fireplace, and the flue was closed. Nick Yankovic was found in a chair in the living room. His wife was found on the bathroom floor. They were really just enjoying their retirement, having a quiet life.
You know, her maiden name was Vivalda.
Vivalda?
And it's a common misconception that Weird Al Yankovic is related to that other guy, Nick Yankovic, who was a famous polka player, who also happened to, ironically enough, play the accordion since he played polka.
Well, he taught Weird Al how to play the accordion.
Well, no, he did not teach Weird Al.
See, no,
they became fast friends, I guess, later on, because their common interest, last name, and polka, and the accordion. But yes, it's very interesting about there. He is not related, although, ironically enough, he is dead. Too, just like Weird Al's parents now.
Okay.
Hey, you know what, man? If all news stations get to do the 7 degrees of bullshit for filler time, I can too.
Works good for me. I can't complain too much.
What the fuck was that guy's name?
I
want to say Big Al Yankovic.
Big Al Yankovic.
Who runs the polka?
Here's something I found interesting. I know we've talked about like housing prices and fucking expensive-ass California.
Oh, by the way, that's our two dead celebrities. Dead celebrities of the weeks. Thank you.
Yep.
So anyhow, housing.
Housing in California. This is ridiculous. I mean, this is absolutely fucking ridiculous.
Is this absolutely ludicrous?
Yeah, right up there. This family just bought a new home. They're absolutely thrilled with a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, double-wide they bought in December in Oak Forest, a leafy mobile home park nest in the foot of the Santa Monica Mountains.
Mobile home?
Hold on. With its covered front porch, spacious family room, and two-car garage, the 1,800-square-foot mobile home offers plenty of house for the money, and best of all, the Fernandezes own the land. They're surrounded by $1 million homes, so this is a deal. You ready for this?
A deal. You're speaking of the price they paid.
$400,000.
I can believe it.
That's ridiculous. I mean, you may be able to believe it. I can't fucking believe
it. Yeah, for a triple-wide, yeah.
Oh, my fucking God.
Okay, check this out. This is the truth, okay? Okay, you know how the rest. Okay, and in all honesty, right here, as well, right there for B&M, because he's a foreigner, which means he's not from the United States. I'm honestly not ridiculing him. But what I'm saying is, like a lot of countries right there, the image of America is we pretty much refuse to recognize that the rest of the world exists.
Yeah.
With California themselves pretty much fail to recognize the rest of the world exists, including the rest of the other 49 states.
Hold on.
They have no concept of land value, dude.
No, they don't. Here we go. Here's another one. Renee Michelle Alexander bought her 1970s-era trailer in the same area in January for $400,000.
I believe it.
New models often feature granite countertops and hardwood floors. Hers has leaky toilets, old plumbing, and a dark interior. But Alexander, a first-time homeowner, relocated from Pasadena to be closer to family. Oof. Figures she got a deal anyway.
Dude, Pasadena shit.
Just like what you said. Mm-hmm. They don't recognize the fuck that, you know. How did you say it?
They have no concept of just the rest of the world, about reality. Okay, but at the same time, you also have to really remember, in all honesty, that... you know, they're really cut off, okay? And the problem is, you have greedy people that want to rape them, number one. Combine that with the fact that, you know, you think it's bad with the amount of people coming into town here that are moving here? I mean, look at California, dude. We have to deal with Californians moving here. Californians have to deal with everybody moving there.
Yeah, that's true. Alexander and the Fernandez family are part of a small but growing segment of people who see mobile homes as the way to achieve a piece of American dream in the hyper-expensive coastal California.
God, I know.
An exclusive beachfront park such as Paradise Cove in Malibu used mobile homes sell for as much as $6,500.
The homes?
Yes. Mm-hmm. But those price tags cover only the coach and the right to lease the space. The owner still also, on top of this, has to pay a rent, which could be as much as $2,000 a month for the land.
Right.
Now, typically, resident owners pay fees, you know, as well for maintenance and stuff like that, about $150 to $200.
Correct. Now, I'll give you a really great example of this right here. I have an aunt that lives in a prefabricated home.
Okay.
Fucking trailer, right?
Right, it's a trailer.
Okay, it's a double wide.
Okay.
Actually, is it a double? No, I take it back. It's like a small triple wide. Okay. Now, this is what's very funny. She thinks that she got a good deal. And this is the absolute truth. It's in a part of California called Canyon Country off the 14 freeway between the Mojave Desert and the San Fernando Valley.
Okay.
I know some people may not recognize it. I don't give a fuck. But anyhow, what happened is she bought this mobile home, and she bought it to live in it, obviously, and she splits the space with her sister. And she paid $280,000 for it.
Jesus.
Now, that's not what's going to blow your mind.
Okay, there's more. I mean, and obviously there has to be more.
Back in 1989, I actually remember the year because when I was in school and whatnot, my parents went up and looked at this same area there.
Okay.
Exact same fucking community she lives in there.
All right.
Okay. They wanted to sell my parents the same kind of home with the same plot of land.
Okay.
$68,000.
Wait. How much are they going to sell in 89?
$68,000.
How much was it bought for?
$280,000.
Jesus Christ.
True story.
Okay, you're Californian, and for those of you who don't understand what California means, it means fucking tarred.
Oh, shit, yes. That's why, in all honesty right here, this is something very special. Spankwagon listeners, you should feel very special. In fact, I'm actually admitting to you I'm from California, unfortunately, because I really don't. I don't people. Oh, I'm born and raised in Vegas, and I read up my history so I can lie. yeah, you remember when this event happened? Oh yeah, that was woo. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. That's what I do.
So
is
now
lie.
You're fucking tarred.
Fuck you,
Californian. And
well, at least I'm not recovering tarred.
Yeah. Well
no, wait. Fuck. Fuck you. I'm a Nevada now.
Okay, but why do they do this? Why is it this way in California?
Well, the thing about it is there is no sense of proportion right there. Okay, you have to remember anything in California. Number one, it's going to be that it's that baby boomer thing of, you know, nothing is too good,
right?
Okay, you know, or nothing or everything's not good enough. At the same time, couple that with the fact of, you know, you just have no land. There's no more room to expand. Everything's been built out
as far as it can go geographically.
Right,
yes.
Right, and everyone has this uber mentality which has been handed down to them that, you know what, you must live the American dream, okay? That 50s nuclear family image, that comes from the San Fernando Valley.
Okay.
Okay? In all honesty. Now, the problem right here is that everybody wants this shit, okay? And everybody, no one knows how to fucking say, damn, you know, that's too much. Everyone goes in this fucking price war, okay? Everybody has a mentality, if I don't buy it, someone else is going to take my thing from me.
Okay, so they jack up the prices in artificial inflation.
Right, and people are willing to pay for it. Land is running out, okay? Now there's also another conspiracy theory about this right there, but as to why it became so popular. But mainly, there was so much land running out in California that, you know, everybody just headed towards Antelope Valley, which is out in the desert.
Okay.
If you drive at regular 65 miles per hour,
right,
from the mouth of the Antelope Valley, right, where the 14 freeway touches down out of the mountain pass under the basin in the desert.
All right.
Or not Antelope Valley. I'm sorry. The desert, okay?
All right.
You drive right from there downtown LA. It's an hour and a half.
Okay.
Now, combine that with LA traffic.
Ew.
And people are so desperate for land out there. They'll do it. They'll make that commute. Now, the problem is, though, that most of the great housing out in the L.A. Basin and everything right there, it's all gangland. Nobody wants it, and the shit is severely devalued.
Hmm.
Nobody wants to live in the middle of gang territory.
Of course not.
And, you know, and everybody has this attitude of, if my neighborhood gets better or gets shitty, I'm not going to make it better. I'm going to move on to greener pastures.
Okay.
No one has that sense of reinvestment in their community as well.
Right.
Which is why it's just total uber consumerism.
Hey, I guess it sort of ranges to what we were talking about at the beginning of the show with the raging apathy that people feel.
Exactly.
And how, you know, people don't, as Toe said, act upon what they feel.
Exactly. Now the thing about it is right there, yeah, I am in complete fucking agreement with Vorkuris right there, okay? There is too much California influence here. They're really screwing a lot of shit up. The fucking smog tests are about to come harder here in a couple of years.
Oh, that's just not what I need.
Okay, they're gonna. Okay, right now we get measured for hydrocarbons and content right there.
Right.
They're going to start looking for organic pollutants and shit like this.
organic pollutants.
I have no fucking clue what that means. I do not know. But they want to check for this, whatever the fuck it is.
Weird.
They're talking about it. They say, well, we're going to do it now. And this, and the problem with that, too, is the fucking land out here, the price of property is insane.
It's going up.
Oh, yeah.
It's going up from even a couple years ago when I bought my house.
Dude Stitz bought his DeLorean off of.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The house his aunt bought. She paid 70-some-odd thousand dollars for it in Summerlin.
Okay.
This was back in 1992.
When Summerlin, the first, probably the very first segment of Summerlin started opening.
Right. And it's really not even totally up in Summerlin, but it's in this area up here.
Okay.
Okay. That house today now?
Yeah.
It's $350,000. People from California have no sense of, damn it, knock it off. What happens is you'll have people from California, right?
Right.
Okay, and with $400,000 for a trailer, you show them a piece of land out here, and you say $400,000 for it, they think it's a fucking bargain. They'll buy it.
Hmm.
That's what drives up the price.
I guess then California's just susceptible to speculation or speculators. So
yeah.
I'll tell you what, that's pretty pathetic. When you've got a whole entire culture like that, that is willing to do that. And so it says here, by the way, it's been that way over a century. Move out of the center, head to the burbs. You know what?
Yeah.
And I agree. There has been, however, a lot of reinvestment into the downtowns. I will admit that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, I'll be perfectly honest with you, too. Myself right there, if I was more of an urbanite with the yuppie kind of thing right there, you know, and I'm not in the demeaning sense, but where I was just total, career-oriented and I didn't have a car or
right.
I didn't want a car, or if I just had a beater car,
right.
Like a parking garage, it would be one thing for me to live downtown, but I need fucking space and I need workspace for my car. So that's one of my goals is
right.
to get a house. And fortunately, myself right there, I really do love Nevada, but when it comes time for me to buy a house or whatnot, I may have to end up forcing to move my career elsewhere.
And that's understandable because if Nevada starts going more and more like California every year.
Oh, yeah. Now, for Reverend Hammer, Florida is that way for a different reason as well. The thing about it is you have kind of a somewhat different mentality. Granted, with New York right there, you have fucking,
New York, you are out of space.
Yeah. You have shitty apartments going for millions of dollars. Okay. No.
Or at least thousands.
Right. The thing about it is, though, you have cold weather fucking everywhere and then humidity. So then you go down to Florida and it's nice, okay?
It's warmer, but it's still humid. But yeah.
Right. But at the same time, you not only have everybody wants to live in Florida for the weather and whatnot because they're used to other shitty climates. You also have the problem of Florida's laws for real estate where it can't be taken away. So that looks very attractive to people.
It's true.
And they'll be willing to buy you out just so they can have that. They're willing to pay the extra money for that property down there to get that, pseudo, that kind of insurance policy won't
right.
be taken away by law.
Homesteading basically is what it is by law
right.
automatically.
But even homesteading is different, man.
Well, true. But we're not getting into that logistic argument. Why don't we go ahead and switch gears? Because, thank you for kind of enlightening me. Because, when I read that, reading about a mobile home going for $400,000.
Oh, yeah.
And I got a house going for, that went for $145,000.
In all honesty, right now, telling you the truth right there.
Sick.
All you would have to do, advertise your house for about $220,000 or $220,000.
And I get it.
But don't advertise it here. Take an ad out in a Los Angeles paper.
Okay.
Two-story, nice plot of land. Landscaped all throughout, two-car garage, close to school. You build it up. You put that in an LA paper, I guarantee you get your money.
Oh, I bet I would.
Right now, the average home sells within, I'm sorry, is it the average home? Yeah, the average home sells within 27 days of being brought to market in Las Vegas.
Yeah, about right.
I think it was 97%, 96 to 97% of homes sold get their original asking price. That's how intense the real estate market here is.
Interesting. I'll remember that. I definitely will remember that. All right. Gear change.
Hold on. Double clutch. Shit, I don't have a sound effect for that.
Double clutch.
Okay.
See, we faded in, faded out, faded in, faded out. All right. You brought this up last week. You mentioned J-List.
Yes.
Talking about getting some of your favorite products.
Cool. Well, you got that article.
I got that article from Wired News. It's all about J-List and the guy who founded it. J-List, an e-commerce site that offers more than 2,500 products that exemplify Japanese kitsch. Since launching the company in 1996, its San Diego founder, Peter Payne. Yeah, has become sort of a cultural ambassador to geeks in the West. Wired News, that's who I stole this from, caught up with Mr. Payne during a recent trip back to the United States. How did J-List start? Well, I lived in Japan since 1992 and started out there teaching English in schools. From time to time, I received emails from friends in other parts of the world saying, hey, I'm looking for this J-pop CD. Can you find it for me? Thus, this kind of evolved into a small business. At first, 25% of sales were music. Ironically enough there, Claude. The rest was mostly Japanese adult magazines or comics. Check this out. He added hentai, which now accounts for about half of their sales. We don't just sell adult material. We also sell toys, calendars, food items, and all kinds of strange, cute things. Another big seller is a kind of electric game called a dating sim, which now represents nearly a quarter of all software sold in Japan. Those dating sims. Why has Japan had such a huge impact on defining what's cool in pop culture? The biggest thing, that's the biggest mystery of all. Think of all the Japanese words that have become part of the global vocabulary. Ninja, anime, Pokemon, shuriken, hentai, bukkake. And in some ways, Japan is a lot like England. Both are island nations who have had an enormous cultural impact on the rest of the world. There's a distinct line between two kinds of adult entertainment that comes out of the Japan, he goes on to mention. There's pro companies and indie companies. To understand the industry here, you first have to know about the Japanese law that's, you know, involving animation or video. There has to be a mosaic, blurring, distortion around the genitalia.
And that pisses me off.
Hold on. Particularly in, you'll like this, the history behind it, particularly in the material shows penetration. This is rooted in Japanese history from, of all people, General Douglas MacArthur. He was trying to Christianize the country. Those blurred out bits of porn? MacArthur thought. Fault. By the way, I'm quoting pretty much all this article. The pro studios in Japan, like Cookie Corp or Alice Japan, belong to a group called the Japan Video Morality Association, which is not unlike the MPAA in the United States. It, you know, sets the standards. Themes like incest are forbidden, you know, stuff like that.
Well, that's understandable there, but I mean, still.
The indie porn companies, like Soft On Demand or Moody's, they have their own group called Media Morality Association. But in reality, each indie studio determines the size of its own mosaic. So there you go. The pros say it's got to be big. The indies say it's got to be small. Here's something, though, that brings up the whole bukkake deal.
Bukkake!
How Japanese pornography is different. It's highly stylized. You have to have the obligatory mosaic. So filmmakers have to consider what they're shooting with an adult movie or an internet, you know, DVD. In other words, what they'll do is it ends up being much more camera time for the face and the rest of the body. The video or the porno is about the entire person. Okay, there are a lot of niche-specific deals going on, like cosplay, you know, dressing up in costumes.
By the way, shit, is he in here tonight, man?
Who?
Akari?
No.
Damn, mad props to him because he sent me a link of when cosplay goes bad.
We might have to put that up on the site.
Fat chicks trying to be like Sailor Moon? No.
You. Now, as we said, the cosplay, but bukkake's another Japanese invention, credited to the filmmaker Kazuhiko Matsumoto. In 1998, bukkake was the name of the film. Originally bukkake became a porn trend because of the mandatory porn mosaic. The director can't show penetration, so they have to figure out a new visual way to approach sex acts that will satisfy the audience without violating Japanese law. There you go. Also, something else for our listeners, one of Claude's really bad jokes that he's shared with time to time, where he goes, Gaijin, Gaijin, it does mean a foreigner.
Yes, yes, yes.
Not wrong.
I was corrected on that.
Also, take the bad words that come out of Japan. No one would ever consider the letter H. However, in Japan, the letter H is a swear word.
H?
H. By pronouncing H. You know, not just the letter itself written down, but H.
Okay, so H is a word.
H is a word because represents the H as in the first letter of hentai. So if you scream out H, there you go. You're a pervert. Nope, and I'm not making this stuff up. So this is a bunch of stuff that I pulled off this J-List article. It's a great article, and I will plug Wired for actually, for once, having a decent article up there. The title is Fix for Japan Pop Culture Addicts. I'd give you the URL, but it's a really pain in the ass. It's under the culture in Wired News. Check it out.
Yeah, I know, but it's just, yeah.
Anyhow.
Let's go ahead and play a little mood music.
Mood music.
We'll go ahead and we'll take a break real quick. We'll be right back.
死んでいた朝に弔いの雪が降るはぐれ犬の遠吠え下駄の音きしむ銀河の重さ見つめて歩く 命の道を行く女、涙は遠に捨てました。振り向いた川に遠ざかる旅の日が、いてた鶴は動かず泣いた。雨と風、冷えた水もにほつれ髪映し、涙さえ見せない蛇の目の傘ひとつ。恨みの道を行く女、心はとうに捨てました。
Right, dude.
And by the way, in case anybody, oh, God damn, that's loud. Shit. By the way, in case anybody's actually curious, we were talking earlier about when Trenger was trying to sleep in my car.
That's the song.
Yeah, I was actually listening to, this is actually off Kill Bill. That's why you don't recognize it. You don't buy any albums. I was actually karaokeing to the Kill Bill soundtrack. I first started with Charlie Feathers. That song by him on that first one, I forget what it is.
I don't even remember what it is.
I start singing, that's Rockabilly.
Yeah.
And Trencher's trying to sleep. And I go, oh, sorry. So I put this on, figuring, you know, well, I don't know Japanese, but I start singing along with this in Japanese like that. And trust me, I know the first part of the song, like, verbatim.
You know,
I have no idea what I'm saying. Then it was really bad. I said, I'm sorry, dude. So I figured, no voice. And I started loudly humming and pseudo-whistling to Zamfir.
So it was pretty much over.
No,
I couldn't.
No
yeah.
sleep that night for
no,
you.
No crashing out in the car that night. Anyhow, we're going to go ahead and start wrapping up this show because we've had another awesome 2 hours.
Oh, by the way, that was Miko Kaji. And the name of the song is The Flower of Carnage.
So you are listening to the greatest internet radio show ever,
Spank Wagon Radio, which is only available at spankwagon.vftp.net for a limited time only.
Limited time? I plan on staying, bitch.
Don't call me bitch, motherfucker.
All righty.
Yeah, see, I can control.
Oh, yeah, well, wait, I just cut myself. No, come on, no, quit playing with the switches. All right. We want to say a big thank you to everyone who's helped us put out. to help us put out. Nice.
God, help us put out.
We want to thank Viagra and Trojan. No. We want to say thank you to Virtual One for hosting the site at vftp.net. Check it out, vftp.net. Virtual One. Pester him sometime, please. We also want to say thank you to Mr. Man for putting up the broadband broadcast site at lazycode.com.
Lazycode.com.
Lazycode.
By the way, I don't know if he's listening right now. Mr. Man asked me a question. I was actually busy talking. I couldn't respond, and he signed off. He wants to know if we'll be at Midnight Madness.
Midnight Madness tonight unless we're going really late. We'll give you a call there, Mr. Man.
Yeah, because it's Kill Bill Volume 2 tonight.
Kill Bill
man.
Volume
we
2
have to
all
see
the way
this.
Tonight. Also, we want to say thank you to everybody who does tune in weekly. We want to say everybody who doesn't tune in weekly. We also want to say thank you to...
VFTP.net.
Yeah, we already got VFTP. But I also want to say thank you to all of our listeners. And If you want to listen to something else before we're back up next week, listen to JSTFU.org and listen to Reverend Hammer, Pappy Coon, be very angry white folk from Florida.
Angry white folk.
Angry white folk.
That's interesting, angry white folk. I once heard from an angry black folk person.
Really?
Who was actually brought up the interesting question.
What?
Black folk will just take their kitchen table out, kitchen table and their chairs went out onto the lawn, but white people actually buy furniture for outdoors.
Yes.
And come to think of it, that does seem a bit ridiculous when you think about it.
What, bringing the furniture out or buying the furniture for
buying
outdoors?
Buying furniture for outdoors you only sit in once in a while. It's not as comfortable as what you have inside.
I don't know. I think that lawn furniture is very comfortable.
Well, it
and you had
on
some
lawn furniture.
Furniture that posed as your furniture in your apartment. That was very comfortable.
That was the most comfortable hard chair. It's actually out on the porch right now.
Yeah, so there you go.
I have porch furniture now.
And if you are listening to Spankwagon Radio right now, we will keep the radio going. We'll keep the sounds attuning, and we will upgrade the bandwidth. We will upgrade the bitrate to 128K.
128K bitrates.
Thank you for listening this week. We'll talk to you next week. I'm Trencher.
I, of course, am, as usual, the irrefutable balls of Claude.
Have a good night.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Spankwagon.
This just in, it'll fade when I give you the finger.